Welcome to the MBG podcast.
Let's fire everybody.
All right, welcome everybody to episode number 68, the Message Board Geniuses podcast. This is Hoos. I got Casey, Joy, MBG. Thought we'd kick things off again this week with a little NCAA tournament talk. Final four is set for both the men's and the women's tourneys. For y'all were watching, what were your big takeaways from this past weekend?
I don't think Alabama still has missed.
Man, that was a fun game though, Casey.
It was very fun.
It was a great game.
For someone with no rooting interest, it was a fun game to watch. It may not have been fun for you to watch.
It was extremely fun because, again, I think, you know, I go right to Twitter after the games, but Clemson didn't play poorly at all. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, so people were pissed saying Brownell got out-coached. I'm not sure he did. How do you defend 16 of 24 from three in the second half? I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, Alabama is firing on all cylinders right now.
Yeah.
And they can beat just about anybody if they shoot like that. I mean, they don't defend that well. But if you shoot that well, you're going to win a lot of games. And, yeah, I was bummed to see you guys lose. Obviously, I wanted to keep talking trash on behalf of the ACC. It took everything I had not to call Seth Davis a dumb on the timeline after the ACC got three in the Elite Eight. Because I don't know if you guys have watched, he just won't back down. He's still taking shots at the ACC. He's
doubling, tripling, quadrupling.
Yeah. It's so annoying. So I was so happy that Clemson made it as far as they did. And especially after you guys, it was last year that you guys got jobbed, right?
Yeah.
So that was fun.
It was a good season, fun season. You know, I appreciate them for allowing me to come jump aboard, man, because it was fun. 2 weeks ago, I think 2 weeks ago, I jokingly said off the air that I think they lose in the first round. And as soon as we hit the go button, I said they're going to win the whole damn thing. Well, I started to believe it for a second, which was good.
You gaslight yourself hard enough, Casey. It sometimes works.
Right.
I mean, I'll probably jinx them now, but I mean, it seems pretty clear that Connecticut and Purdue are on a course here, on a crash course to meet each other. They seem like the two best teams by a long shot, in my opinion.
I'm torn because I don't want to see UConn repeat, but I really don't want another team matching our lose to a 16 seed, win the whole tournament the next year, you know, narrative.
I want that to be us.
Yeah, so I'm a little torn on if those two make it through about who I'm going to root for.
Yeah, but watch out for the DJs. NC State's hot.
They're so hot.
Yeah, but I think their road comes to an end. I mean, they're running into a couple of buzzsaws. I mean, Purdue and – I know Tennessee played them tight, but I think that's as good as anybody's going
to
play them.
A better game than Duke even did. If Houston hadn't lost their point guard, I don't even think they lose to Duke. And so – I think, and if that is the case, I think Houston would have beaten NC State. It's just that's what's crazy about the tournament. You're one injury away from just not even being able to really hang.
Yeah.
Well, and just to make it about UVA, like I always do, NC State won Virginia meltdown from not being in the tournament. And we were up three with an 87% free throw shooter on the line.
In a three, right?
Yeah, with 4 or 5 seconds left. I mean, our win probability had to be literally our best free throw shooter on the line. He misses. They bank in a three. You know, it beat us down in overtime. And then because they're absolutely not in the tournament otherwise if they don't win the ACC tournament. So,
and they're probably looking for a new coach.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, I can't even be mad about that game because it's been fun watching them go on this run.
Was that like 8 or 9 – elimination games in a row they've won?
Yeah. Essentially, I think it's 5 in the ACC tournament, right, Casey?
Yeah.
I think they won five days in a row, and then they've won four at this point?
Four.
So, yeah. I mean, that's super fun to watch. And somebody was on Twitter talking about how back in 83 that they knocked out a multiple national player of the year, 7'4" center number one seed on the way to winning that title was Ross Sampson in Virginia.
Yeah,
so we'll see. I mean, if I think Purdue's playing really well right now, but NC State's playing with a horseshoe up their ass. So
it's the matchup we want, though, right down low between DJ and Zach Edey. I mean, I know we'll probably get into Edey later, but that's a great matchup. I mean, you go from it's like the number 10, right? It's the big stick figure number one, and then the round mound of rebound for NC State. I mean, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch.
Get ready to hear 2 days of incessant whining about the officials after that game.
might be both ways.
Justified or not. I mean, that's going to be the story of that game after the game, because Purdue's going to win, and then everyone's going to cry about
the story of every game Purdue's played in so far in this freaking tournament.
It's a little foreshadowing for later in the show, too.
Absolutely.
We won't get too deep into that one.
All right, so I'm sure we'll hit on this again next week. It's been a fun tournament so far. It's, I mean, having won, what's NC State, an 11 seed? I mean, just it's always fun when you've got like a really high seed, low seed, whatever, make it that far. So see what happens. All right, so next up, we have our mailbag question. This week's question comes to us from frequent contributor and friend of the podcast at 5 Foot Nothing Pod, who asks, if you could go back in time and witness in person an athletic or entertainment event, what would it be? And he gave a couple of examples. I don't think any of us are going to pick these, but his examples were Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game, Mickey Mantle hitting a walk-off 636-foot home run, or Mitch Hedberg's last stand-up set. So we're probably going to go off the chart for our answers, is my guess. But out of those three, Mitch Hedberg would be my pick. So anyway, Casey, what do you got?
I guess because Notre Dame has been irrelevant for the past 40 years, we feel some kind of pity or something for 5 Foot Nothing Pod, because he gets in a question quite often. But I don't know what it is. Anyway, he had some great options there. I'd probably say Hedberg as well. But as he is a friend, a true friend, he wouldn't expect anything less. So I'm going to go off the map here. One event that I wish I could go back and witness, I really think I would go back, and I thought about this one long and hard tonight. I would go back and be in attendance for Warren Morris's walk-off home run in the 1996 College World Series final against the University of Miami. Neither of those teams, Warren Morris is Joy's LSU boy, and neither of those teams really I'm very fond of, but both are admittedly blue blood programs of college baseball. But I think the real story, in my view, was that I was actually supposed to be there. I was a freshman in college at Clemson, and Clemson made it as the number four seed that year. And needless to say, I don't know why. I don't remember exactly what the circumstance was, but I didn't go. And I would have stayed my plan was to stay the entire week. And it turned out to be one of the most dramatic College World Series endings to ever happen. And everyone knows that I'm a huge college baseball fan. So, heck, there's even a statue outside the stadium of Warren Morris. Like, he's basically the logo now. And I should have been there. I think MBG was probably there because he loves baseball.
I just tuned out for the last minute and a half.
Take a snack over there. As soon as you hear,
I almost spit out my water.
All right, Joy, what are you going with?
If I had to go in those three, I'd actually pick Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game, but I'm going to go off the grid without a fact. And I really struggle with this one between two. I would have just loved to see Pistol Pete play the game of basketball. Without a three-point line, the shots that I can imagine he was taking, any chance I could have ever gotten to see him play is something that I would like 100% take an option in. And then my second one is obviously the earthquake game at LSU. I have been lucky enough that I've been in the stadium when we've registered an earthquake, but to be at that first one when it was just seismic and everyone knew that something crazy was happening, and to witness Billy Cannon running and scoring that touchdown to win that game would have just been really, really cool. I got the opportunity to eat crawfish with Billy Cannon before he died, and just a really down earth guy, really cool. And so to see it happen now, knowing his character, would have just been a 10 out of 10 experience as a diehard LSU fan. So those are my two.
MBG, do you have an LSU sporting event that you
I was going to say, and 5 Foot Nothing Pod's going to love this because of his outward love of Brian Kelly.
Well, I have been to a football game at LSU, and I did see Shaq play for LSU in the NCAA tournament in Boise, Idaho. Nice. I saw them play. I think their first game was, I don't know what their first game was, but I saw them play then against BYU the second game. That same tournament, I saw Alonzo Mourning.
So you were cheering for the Tigers is what you're saying.
Yes, I was, actually. I stayed in the same hotel as Shaquille O'Neal and the Tigers that day. I think that same round, I saw Alonzo Mourning for Georgetown, wow. Florida State, when they had Charlie Ward and Bobby Sura.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun tournament. So I have seen some LSU, but that would not be my pick. No LSU games would be my pick. I would probably, out of the choices he gave, I would probably say Mickey Mantle in Yankee Stadium. I know baseball's lame, but to watch Mickey Mantle play in Yankee Stadium, which I have been to the old Yankee Stadium.
That was the last thing I thought you were picking.
Would be fun. But to go off the board, I would probably say 1985 Villanova beating Georgetown in the national championship game. That was really one of the first big upsets in the NCAA basketball tournament. It was an 8 seed beating a 1 seed, which now doesn't sound so wild. But back at that time, an 8 seed beating a 1 seed. And Georgetown was at that time, I mean, with Patrick Ewing, I think they were very heavy favorites to win it all throughout the whole season. And I think they had beaten Villanova twice already that year. And Villanova with Raleigh Massimino and Ed Pinckney came in and beat them. I think it was like 60, I want to say like 66, 62, 66, 64, something like that. But that was a game that I would love to have seen for that reason. It was really one of the first big upsets in the NCAA tournament. Would have been fun to see. And old Big East basketball was fantastic.
There's nothing better. That's what I grew up on.
Yeah. They had 3 teams in the Final Four that year. I think it was St. Mm-hmm. John's. I think it was the third team.
You are correct.
There was that guy. Yeah. I remember, was it Jensen, that white dude? He was like a guard.
Chris Mullen? Shot. Oh, no.
No, for Villanova. It was like a guy who didn't score a lot of points, but he's perfect from the floor and from the line in that game. I can't remember.
Was it Dwayne McClain?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I feel like his last name was Jensen for some reason.
Harold Jensen.
Harold, is that what it was?
Yeah, he's best remembered for a key player in Villanova's surprise championship, NCAA championship. He had the winning basket in the final minutes.
There you go. All right. Like my memory's doing better than maybe I thought it was. It makes me feel
better.
All right. So the only cool, like close to last thing I've ever seen, I saw the Beastie Boys' third to last show before they stopped playing. They played here in Baltimore. Can't remember what year it was. I want to say like 07 or 08, like a small venue. And then Adam Yauch was diagnosed with cancer like a week later. So that was kind of a cool, especially for me, because I'm a huge fan of them. But the thing I would go back and see is not very long ago at all. It would be the UVA Purdue game in the Elite Eight back in 2019. I mean, I know I'm biased, but that's possibly the best college basketball game I've ever seen. Carson Edwards was just completely unconscious in that game. I thought we won it like 4 different times. I thought we lost it a bunch of different times. If I was there in person, then it would have prevented me from yelling holy f- in front of my kids when Diakite tied it up. And then first time they ever heard me drop an F-bomb. So I could have it would have been fun to be at, and I could have avoided that. So that would be my pick. Definitely the most Purdue talk we've ever had on one of our podcasts before.
Just wait. I think we got a special admission to our post later. Right. I think
they are the NCAA's darling. You know, the NCAA has always been in Purdue's pocket.
Right. A lot of people feel that way, MBG. All right, so that brings us to our next segment, Genius of the Week. As always, each of us is going to nominate a player, coach, team, conference, someone who did something particularly dumb in the last week, put it to a Twitter vote, and see who wins. For our last vote, Joy won for the second straight week. Her nominee, Kentucky Basketball, got 43% of the vote, followed by my nominee, the Long Beach State Athletic Director, with 27%. Casey's nominee, Caitlin Clark Haters, came in third with 24% of the vote. And MBG's nominee, William Bubba Hodge, came in fourth with 6%. So now I'm in the lead with 24 wins, followed by Joy with 15, Casey with 12, Courtney with 1, MBG still on 0. MBG, you're now 0-52. For reference, this is a recent one. In November of last year, Army knocked off number 25-ranked Air Force 23-3 to end a 52-game losing streak against ranked teams that dated back to 1972. To put that in perspective, the last time Army had knocked off a ranked team, the Godfather was the number one grossing movie at the box office, and only one of the three of us was alive. So, so once again, MVG, you're in fine company. True. All right, Casey, who are you going with this week?
This week, I'm going with Zach Eadie, Purdue's most notorious non-fouling big man. After his number one seeded Boilermakers beat the most aggressive team in the country, the Tennessee Volunteers, or at least that's what the foul numbers would make you think, the All-American got interviewed after the latest victory, right after the game, and he took on the persona of a death metal lead singer, letting an F-bomb fly, throwing all sorts of nonsense out. And the lack of self-awareness did not stop there, however, as in the post-game press conference, Eadie then, with his apparent normal voice, talked about how he was overlooked and then called out one of the nicest human beings on the planet, the coach that he just beat, Rick Barnes, for overlooking Eadie. Hats off to Eadie, because when he came in as a freshman, he was a gangly moron, getting about 8 minutes of run a night, and was not really very good. But again, props to him for working his butt off to get better and now becoming the most dominant, albeit protected, player in the NCAA. But for having zero self-awareness and hoping Purdue loses on Saturday night, Zach Eadie is my genius of the week.
Did you see the clip of him celebrating on the court when he had the camera on him?
I turned it off.
I got a boner. He said that on camera.
Oh, I can hear that.
And then he cuts the net down by not getting on the ladder.
that's kind of a boss move, to be honest.
If you can do it, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
I get it.
But if you can't do it, it's so douchey. Let me just say
right.
All right, Joy, who are you going with?
I'm going with Connor Sports as my genius of the week. And it's really Connor Sports / the NCAA, because anytime I can – on the NCAA, I'm going to. But Connor Sports is the contractor that is in charge of painting the basketball courts for the NCAA March Madness tournament. And I'm sure you all saw that they actually mismeasured and painted the three-point line incorrectly for one of the women's games. And the officials actually measured it and realized that it was wrong. And then the NCAA came out and said it was human error and that they apologize in advance for the issue. So for them just not being able to do something, they've also been contracted since 2006. So this is not like this was the first year they were doing it. So for just being absolute complete morons and then letting them be absolute complete morons, Connor Sports and the NCAA are my genius of the week.
I can't believe that both teams agreed to play with
me
that.
Either.
No way I would do that. No way I would do that.
They painted the men's line, right? Isn't that what they did?
I think the center dot underneath was just in the wrong place. So they measure from like they put some dot underneath the basket, and it was just like 9 inches off, too. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, that's their only job, right? Like,
literally.
Is that
literally? You had one job.
Right? You got that gig for 21 years and you just, or whatever, 18, I can't do math, 18 years? And you.
Let's just say they're probably going to be an RFP out pretty soon. Yeah. So, any of you 3-point line drawing companies out there, you might have a shot.
If there's competition out there,
the doors will open.
If I'm one of those coaches, I'm not playing on that court. Like, I'm just not doing it.
I don't think I realized it was that far off. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's
9 inches is significant.
Yeah,
it is significant.
It's crazy.
All right, MBG, is this the week?
I think so. But first, I just want to ask you guys a question. If I were,
I love your questions.
I know.
What would you guys do for 100,000 Philippine pesos?
Can I get a currency exchange ratio?
I would do some bad things.
Yeah, right? You would, huh? Well, so would my guy Ramil Albano. I don't know if he's related to Captain Lou Albano, but Ramil Albano apparently was scouring the internet, and he came across a post from a local, this is in Manila, Philippines, a local takoyaki store. You guys know what takoyaki is?
No idea.
No, but I want you to say it as many times as possible.
Absolutely.
Takoyaki apparently is a Japanese snack, like a little bread ball with some minced octopus in it. Sounds really tasty. So there's a store named Taragas in Manila that apparently sells takoyaki. And Taragas apparently has stirred some controversy on Facebook after it posted an April Fool's Day challenge, sparking debate about responsibility, cultural awareness, and the perils of online pranks. Taragas, whose social media presence revolves around trendjacking as well as social media stunts and challenges, boldly captioned a post. This is in Filipino. I'll translate later. Kaya mo bang gayan para sa 100,000. It says, can you do the challenge for 100,000 pesos? So it entailed a hefty reward of 100,000 pesos for anyone daring enough to tattoo their logo on their body. So Ramil Albano, he took it to heart and he inked the page's name on his forehead, becoming a symbol of the blurred lines between humor and harm, it says. He then sent a message to Taragas on Facebook that said, Sir Nag Pern Pa Ako Sa Inyo Ginagawa Na Po Wait Po Ako Chat Nino, which roughly translated for you that don't speak the language. It says, Sir, I messaged you. It's already being done. I'll wait for your chat. Well, he tattooed the logo on his forehead, and apparently Taragas basically said they weren't going to pay him. And their response was, amid the backlash, Taragas released a statement reiterating the nature of the April Fool's Day and the importance of reading comprehension. The statement read, our April Fool's Day post was published earlier in the day. After that, we received a number of messages claiming that our post was executed and that someone had taken it seriously. Let this serve as a reminder to us all how important reading comprehension is. It is April Fool's Day. Never trust anything or anyone, the same as any other day. Once more, Taragas Takoyaki is not accountable for the events that occurred. Thank you. So Ramil Albano got that logo tattooed on his forehead for nothing. By the way, do you guys know how much 100,000 Philippine pesos is?
Like $100 or something.
$1,700.
Okay.
I did it. I cheated at MBG.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that's impressive, Casey.
So my guy Ramil, for tattooing a logo on his face and getting nothing in return, even if you assume that he was going to get $1,700 in return, either way, he's still my genius of the week.
I do sometimes wish that this was like videoed for people to see, because the amount of effort it took for you to say those words, like I could tell that it was like taking every bit of your brain to process and say it out loud. It was like work. I wish people could really appreciate and see how much work you put into that one, BG.
Literal tears in my eyes.
Same.
Did he have to get it? Like, was the contest to get it on your face, or could he have gotten it somewhere else?
The post did not say it had to be on their face. So Ramil apparently chose the forehead.
Like, just in case there was a tie, you know?
Could have had it up on his upper thigh, back on his shoulder, somewhere hidden. Nope.
A little tramp on the forehead.
The inside of your tongue. You know how people do that on the inside of their lip? That's where you should have gotten it.
Yeah.
One of these weeks, I'm going to switch up the order so I don't have to go after MBG.
No.
It's the most thankless part of the show. All right, so my genius of the week is LSU women's basketball coach Kim Mulkey. Joyce, this is not a shot at you. I almost picked her last week.
Because if it was a shot at me, I mean, how would that be any different than any other week that we
did? Yeah, it's true. So I almost picked her a week ago. Word got out that a Washington Post writer was writing a profile on her, and Mulkey called it a hit piece, threatened to sue the Post for defamation. Article came out a few days ago, and it was an extensively sourced, pretty non-salacious profile that basically painted Mulkey as a hard-ass coach who isn't for everyone, which is essentially the exact persona she's cultivated at Baylor and LSU. I don't know if y'all read the article, but it was pretty much a nothing burger. And things got worse last night when LSU took on Iowa with the chance to go back to the Final Four. I really thought LSU was the deeper, bigger, and more talented team. I thought they would handle Iowa, but for reasons that weren't clear, still aren't clear, Mulkey decided to leave Haley Van Lith on an island against arguably the best shooter in the history of women's basketball. And things went exactly as you'd expect, with Caitlin Clark dropping 41 points and leading Iowa to victory. I don't know. Did you all watch the game? It was I was literally just yelling at the TV, like, just run a double team at her, have send somebody head. Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. So for worrying about defamation lawsuits instead of having her players hedge ball screens, Kim Mulkey is my genius of the week.
Do what with balls? Ball screen? Ball screen?
Ball screens.
Oh, ball screens. Internet's bad.
Hedging, Casey.
Hedge. You know about the hard hedge, Casey. Come on. That's what we do.
I do.
Lord. All right. I got to collect myself after MBG's. I've got his interpretation still rambled around in my head here. All right. Before we move on to our next segment, I want to give a quick shout out to CFB Home for sponsoring the MBG podcast. You can find them on Twitter at CFB Home and online at fifthquarter.net. Also, we're doing a couple of cross promotions with other podcasts again this week. The first is with the Sickos Committee podcast. They had a new episode drop last week titled Salatisburg Nuts, where they discussed what instruments the Miami Marlins will allow, Wazoo and Oregon State games possibly being on the CW, and part 7 of their 24-part series about the worst losses of all time for teams who are above 600 all time. We're also doing a cross-promotion with the Slander U podcast. They haven't had a new episode since our last show, but they have lots of great content from last season, so you should check them out.
Are those guys still alive?
Yeah, I think they might
shut it down. Where are you at, Pablo?
I think they might shut it down for a little while after football.
They're very football heavy, but man, they're fun.
Yeah, I'll check in with Pablo and see what's up with them.
Good. Get proof of life if you can.
All right, MBG. Got some good stuff lined up this week?
I think so. We'll see. But so first, I want to do another meltdown. I think you guys will enjoy this. Well, two of you will enjoy this meltdown. One of you maybe not so much. And that is our friends at Duke, who lost to NC State, which, by the way, I sympathize with them somewhat because losing to your rival, one of your rivals, I know it's not their main rival, but your in-state rival for a chance to go to the Final Four has to be absolutely devastating. So I kind of empathize with them a little bit, but I don't think there are a lot of people that empathize with Duke much. But so this was following the game, their loss to NC State. One poster, JP23, says, John should be on the hot seat after this pathetic and embarrassing performance, losing to a god-awful program like NC State with a chance to go to the Final Four. The next guy says, I will not miss Kyle Filipowski. Next guy, see ya, Flip. You've been a buttercup since day one. Flag will be the guy we thought Flip would be this year. Flag isn't getting punked and crying to the refs every trip down the court. Because that's just Kyle Filipowski. No other Duke player has ever. And the last one, which was my favorite, he said, did the whole team paint their fingernails? I think that was in reference to, what was his name? The McLean kid who painted his fingernails earlier in the week.
You got an NIL deal.
Signed a whole NIL deal.
Yeah, it's really triggering for people on Twitter and on message board for some reason.
Oh, yeah. Him and Caleb Williams have a lot of fans up in arms over the painted fingernails, and they don't quite know how to deal with that. So you guys feel bad for these Duke fans?
Very.
I love Duke. I mean, I am a Duke fan, and I don't feel bad for Duke fans, if I'm being honest with you.
Thing that's tough, MEG, you mentioned them, you know, missing out on a chance to go to the Final Four, losing to an in-state rival. That's 2 years after they lost to UNC in Coach K's last game. I mean, that's a tough
We don't have to rub it in. We know.
No, I'm not. I'm saying that's a tough few years. So I can sympathize with that. Like, if we lost,
can you imagine losing to Virginia Tech? I was just gonna say losing to Virginia Tech.
Yeah, that would be really, really tough. So
it would be easier to lose to like George Washington and Wichita State than your two of your rivals the last 2 years. Yeah.
I'd rather lose to NC State than UNC, though. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, losing to NC State hurt less.
Well, it was funny seeing USC fans trying to figure out who they were rooting for or rooting against.
Right? You got to feel a little bit bad because, you know, there's been extreme recruiting drop off from Duke basketball. So that's probably why they're not getting the players nearly as much anymore.
It's the craziest thing. Like, there are people, I mean, we have friends on Twitter who are talking about, well, you know, we're screwed next year with the guys we have coming in. They have like the number 1, 12, 17, and 18 players in the country.
Four five-stars.
Yeah. Like four top. We haven't had a single five-star under Tony Bennett. They have four five-stars coming in next year. They'll be fine. I mean.
Yeah, that's not even
Milton considering. Jennings. You ever heard of Milton Jennings?
Is he one of the four?
No, he was a five-star kid that Clemson had.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, what happened to him? Where is he? I'm looking for him. So if you find him, let me know. Let me know where he is.
Yeah, I don't remember him.
Apparently graduated about 5 years ago, but I don't remember.
Did y'all see the post from our friend three-year Letterman about Duke? I know Joy saw it because I think he may have tagged you in it.
Yeah, no, I responded to it, and then we got in a war.
He said, you can love Duke or you can love America, but you can't love both.
Yeah, and I responded and said blasphemy, and then he called me a communist.
The most upsetting thing I saw in this thread, MEG, I think you posted this one too, is one of the message board posters said, we've turned into Virginia on offense, which just kind of hit below the belt, I felt like. Why are we catching strays? Just let me enjoy Duke losing, you know?
It's like everyone, when they have a bad game in football, they compare their offense to Iowa.
Right.
You're going to have to live with that one for a little bit, at least, I think.
Yeah, we're going to wear that one for a while.
All right. So we're going to move on, but I need you guys to help me with something. We're all friends here. So, I mean, you guys can tell me if I'm wrong, okay? I posted this post from a Tennessee board after the Tennessee-Purdue game. And I think I got ratioed into oblivion on this post because people agreed with the post. And I don't know if it's that they didn't read it.
Well, it depends on what board it came from, because some of these boards, if it's what I think it is, then they can't read. So that would be the logical response.
Or am I an idiot? Like, am I just naive?
Well, there's 50-50 chance.
I don't know. All right. And so this is from a Tennessee board after the Tennessee-Purdue game. Obviously, they lost. They
were all right. Upset. So can't read is looking more and more logical by the minute.
And I will admit that when Utah State lost to Purdue, I was on here complaining about the way that the officials officiated Zach Edey, which is a legitimate complaint because it's frustrating and it's ridiculous. I don't necessarily know if it's bad officiating or if he's just so big that no one's ever seen anything like it. And so, you know, we're not used to someone being able to do what he does. I don't know. But it's frustrating. So I empathize with him that it's frustrating. But every Purdue game is officiated the same way. So this was the post. So it says, the very first sentence, the fix is in, boys. No 3 seconds on Edey, no fouls on Edey, no walks on Edey, no clear out fouls on him or over the back. This is the NCAA sticking it to Tennessee. Now, in the middle of this, where it says no 3 seconds on Edey, no fouls on Edey, no walks on Edey, no clear outs on him or over the back. That's exactly what I said, I think, on last week's show. almost verbatim. So I had no problem with that portion, but it's sandwiched in between two what I think are pretty outlandish statements. One, the fix is in, and two, the NCAA is sticking it to Tennessee. Am I wrong thinking that those statements are outlandish?
You're not
They're
wrong.
Both outlandish.
Oh, they're insane. Yeah.
But the problem is they're only focusing on the meat of it, which is exactly what you said. I think like that part's just overshadowing the other two things. But the idea that somehow the officiating of Zach Edey is the NCAA sticking it to Tennessee is moronic and ignorant. But would you expect anything less from Tennessee fans?
Tennessee Twitter, enough said.
Yeah, I mean, they are the most inept fan base I've probably ever seen.
So that was my thought was, well, okay, they didn't read all the posts. They only read that. And so I rarely respond in word form. If I respond, it's usually just in GIFs or whatever. But I would respond to many saying, you think it was fixed? And every time they would respond, yes, it was fixed. So, for example, there's one post from Volnux. He says, you're my favorite account, and you've featured me before. See my bio. But your stance here is... tells me that my stance is freaking ridiculous. So I'm like, my stance that the NCAA didn't fix the game because they wanted to stick it to Tennessee, that one. So he quotes tweets it and says, yes. And then Tennessee fans continue to jump on me that, yes, it was fixed and the NCAA is sticking it to them. I don't.
This is also just the reality of Tennessee fans is that they don't like, they're so self-absorbed that they haven't watched anything else. Like, sports fans that have watched Purdue play, for instance, you and BG watched Purdue play against Utah State. So you know that Purdue was officiated the exact same way in that game. Tennessee fans don't know because they can barely have like the mental aptitude to watch their entire game in full, nevertheless watch a bunch of other teams play. So they aren't aware of like actual reality that that's just the way that Purdue's been officiated the entire year. So they're taking a personal attack, which is the most self-absorbed thing. But again, like, we're not talking about a logical fan base here. So we can't expect them to be logical.
My favorite part was the 3 seconds. When's the last time a 3 second had been called in NCAA basketball? Now, could it be called on Edie? It's like the holding calls, right? When in football, when neither team's getting called for holds, doesn't mean it's not happening. But it's one of those calls that, for the flow of the game, you're not going to do it.
I can't remember a 3 point or a 3 second call this year. I
can't remember a 3 second call from when I was playing in high school.
Yeah, I mean, it gets called, but like I honestly can't remember a single one this year. He does hang out in the lane a lot.
He hangs there. Yeah, he steps out. And what's the rule? Is it both feet out or is it one? You know,
somebody was posted that it's like, if you have 1 foot in and 1 foot out, or you like lift 1 foot, or like, I don't know, it was convoluted, but basically.
Do hokey pokey and turn yourself around.
That's about what the rule is anyway. So right. For a fan base to be, and I saw it numerous times on Twitter, and that's their complaint.
Do they think that it's fixed because of the lawsuit that they filed? Is that their reasoning, or do they think
Yes. Purdue
is a media darling or something? Because.
I'm not sure. I think that a lot of them do think that the NCAA has a vendetta against them because they won that one court case, which, I mean, I'm guessing that's why Virginia lost too, because Virginia was also involved in that court case, if I'm not mistaken. This is what I don't get. There's a big logical leap that you have to take from saying, okay, the officials were bad. The officials made bad calls to the officials fix the game, which obviously requires that there was some sort of a meeting of the minds before the game. We've got to make sure that Purdue wins this game, whether it's because the NCAA loves Purdue, because who doesn't want Purdue in the Final Four, or just don't want Tennessee in the Final Four. I don't know, but there's a big leap to take.
I mean, MBG, you just said it. Like, you just used the word. We've used it over and over again. You just said there's a logical leap. So you're expecting logic from illogical people.
Well, and they also ignore the fact they get out-rebounded like 47-26. They shot 38% from the field. None of that.
Bruce, chill with the facts.
Yeah.
Chill. We don't
deal in facts. Calm down, who's.
Man, none of that stuff matters.
Nope.
You did get raped, MBG.
Congrats,
I got
MBG. MBG, you know, it's just to keep you humble because –
I was sitting there thinking, like, am I insane here? Like, I finally had to mute the conversation because I was like, I can't let it go.
And we have some really good friends.
Twitter?
I did not threaten to quit Twitter yet.
It's just not fun anymore.
Man, MBG, I feel like you're due. You're due a meltdown here soon.
To be fair, I think this is a very small number of vocal Tennessee fans. I'm sure they don't all think that this is some grand conspiracy, but these guys on Twitter, man, they had me going. I was worked up. I still think I'm right, but they had me questioning it for a minute.
Don't ever apologize.
All right. So the next one is from a Louisville board. Louisville hired a new coach, Pat Kelsey from College of Charleston. which I think was a bit of a letdown for a lot of Louisville fans who had their sights set much higher than Pat Kelsey from College of Charleston. And there were lots of posts on there saying that they should pull a Texas A&M and Tennessee and revolt. But this one was my favorite from Card 22. He says, "Ever regret a drunk text? Well, I just received a response from the president to an email I sent completely sober, imploring them not to follow through with the hire of Pat Kelsey for a variety of what I now know were stupid reasons. Man, I'm an idiot. Lesson learned." I like this guy because there's some, at least some self-awareness there. Once the original emotions died down, he realized that maybe an email to the president of the university maybe wasn't the best route.
Fun fact, I also soberly emailed the president of Louisiana State University a few years ago when the whole Will Wade thing was going on. We were all like bombarding Joe Oliva to tell him that he was a moron. And I was working for USA Football at the time, and they literally, because I guess his emails are public record, they pulled my email and put it in a news article and quoted me as an employee of USA Football, and I got written up and almost lost my job. So I really relate to this person.
That's a good lesson. That's a good lesson to everyone. Your emails,
while we're on the topic of emails, public. Drunk emails to people. I worked at a mortgage company back, ruining people's financial futures back when you could do that in the early aughts. And we had a competition and my team won. So we went to a baseball game, minor league or a spring training game in Clearwater. Needless to say, the vodka Red Bulls were flying. We went back to the office, which was mistake number one, where I hit an email to the entire office that said that the boss was the biggest on the planet. But the best part of the whole story is the next day I got called into my boss's office, who reported to the big boss, and he told me that he saved my job because I was, quote, good for office morale.
So, Casey, what you're saying is you were the personality hire before the personality hire was a thing.
There's no doubt about it.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Anyway, speaking of self-aware, did you see that there was a porn bot that responded to this post, MBG?
They're out of control.
I did not.
They achieved self-awareness. There's one called Dakota Gray 22 who responded, LOL, the nerve of some people. Maybe they should stick to drinking water next time. Hashtag Louisville fans. Hashtag email fail. Hashtag drunk messaging. That is terrifying.
You think that was a porn bot? Who's?
Look at it. Yeah. Dakota Gray 22. I'm almost positive.
That doesn't sound like a porn name. Dakota Gray?
look at the account.
I feel like who's did a little
bit. I'm going to take your word for that one.
I think that's above MBG there.
All right. Next one. This is from a USC board. This guy obviously was watching or was thinking about watching some women's basketball last night. He said, "Am I a male chauvinist pig? Great run by the basketball team, but I still have a hard time getting excited about women's hoops. I don't think I'd go to a Madonna concert either. Is there something wrong with me?"
Is it just naming stuff that's not connected to each other?
It's a common theme tonight.
The Madonna concert just killed me for some reason.
That is the litmus test, I guess, to determine if you're a male chauvinist. Do you like women's basketball? Yes or no? Do you like Madonna concerts? Yes or no? If you answer no to those questions, you are a male chauvinist.
It's a two-question quiz.
I think I'm barely dodging the male chauvinist bullet there, just barely.
It's freeform. It,
because of the MBG, because of the women's basketball, or because of the Madonna part, or both?
Well, I think, you know, women's basketball, I just watch a little bit of it. I watched, obviously, last night. The Madonna concert I wouldn't do, so I guess, I mean, the women's there. Basketball is carrying, yeah, exactly.
You're close, MBG. You got to be careful. How about Pink? Would you go to a Pink concert?
No, I wouldn't do that either, Casey. Oh. Look, but that's not part of the test, Casey. I will say, though, I mean, I saw the ratings for the LSU-Iowa game. Did you see the ratings on that thing?
Crazy. Like
12.3 million, which was more than, I think it said more than every regular season college football game with the exception of Ohio State and Michigan.
Higher than fun.
Yeah, it was. I watched it, and I don't watch a lot of women's basketball.
It was kind of fun. That was a little fun.
Well, and to be honest, Joya, at the end, I started in the fourth quarter, I started pulling for LSU because I wanted it to be close because it was so fun for three quarters. I mean, mm-hmm. It was back and forth. That first half was great. LSU went down big and then came all the way back and then went up big. And I mean, that was fun. But the fourth quarter was kind of like Alabama and Clemson. LSU tried to get close and just couldn't.
It is what it is. I was okay. Caitlin Clark, like, homegirl deserves to win a national championship, but I hope she does. Like, she's just a generational talent. And, like, you can't.
She wasn't going to let them lose last night.
No, I can't. I couldn't be mad. And, like, that she had a revenge game. Like, we beat her last year and everyone was talking about her. So, like, I can't even be mad, which is what funny to me is I saw the memes of all the LSU girls, like she'd make a shot and they would just hold up their hands. Like, what do you want us to do? Like
that one of Haley.
Stop that. Like
hit a three right in her face.
Haley did one. Angel Reese did one. Like, there's like, what do you, like, we can't stop that. And like, so when you like a player like that, like it's hard. Like, I don't hate Caitlin Clark. I love what she's done for the game. Like, I appreciate it.
There's two teams that played hard, and they shook hands at the end, and they hugged it out. I mean, there was no ill will or anything. It was two really good basketball teams. I don't know. Yeah, it was fun for me.
Obviously, Caitlin Clark's fun to watch, but you know who else is really fun to watch? How do you say her name? Flo Johnson?
Yeah.
Man,
she's awesome.
Skilled. I mean, with the basketball in her hand, she's as skilled as anybody, men or women. I mean,
she might. She's probably my favorite player on the team. Like, mm-hmm. she's just a no. Like, I.
Is she done?
No.
No, she's young.
She's a sophomore.
Yeah, she's pretty young.
Yeah, she was fun.
Yeah.
I wanted more of her last night. And Morrow, I thought, was great too.
Yeah, Anisha Morrow's good. I like our girls. I understand that they're like the villains and, you know, dirty debutantes, whatever the hell you want to call them. But, like, they all really love each other and they love playing together and they love LSU. And, I mean, I don't know how much, like, what else do you want from your players in that? So I'll take it.
Yeah. Haley wasn't a good fit at point guard for them. That was part of the issue.
Yeah. And Alexis Morris was really good. She was going to be really hard to replace. And you got Haley, right. And Haley wanted to play for Kim. I mean, Kim recruited her when she was at Baylor. Mm-hmm. So it was like a logical transition for Haley to leave Louisville and come to LSU. But I never thought that Haley was going to be Alexis Morris 2.0. And in all actuality, like, I don't know who on our team could have guarded Caitlin Clark. Like, the girl's almost unguardable. So you just do what you got to do. You just got to attack her the best that you can. And I mean, Kim Mulkey said it best, like, in her press conference, she was like, I told Caitlin, like, I'm glad she's done after this year because I'm tired of trying to beat her. Like, she's hard to beat. And, you know, one and two, I'll take it. 50% chance, it is what it is.
Yep. Well, I'm going to try to get more excited about women's basketball so I won't get called a chauvinist pig.
Yeah, Final Four should be fun. Four teams that are fun to watch.
Yep, it should be. All right, guys, we're going to finish it off. We're going to finish it off with a bang. And we're going to go somewhere where I don't think
a lot during this podcast because after this moment, I'm pretty much going to be quiet.
I don't think we've ever been to a Bradley board, and I'm not sure that we'll ever return to a Bradley board. So we're going to take advantage of this. This is from the Bradley Hoops Forum. And this is a post by appears to be a couple because the board name says we are a couple, and the title drew me right in. It said, would some type of basketball event work at a nudist campground? I love the way he or she starts this out. It says, hi sports fans and participants, and thanks for Yeah, fair enough. And thanks for reading, and hope you can help. My husband and I. Okay, there we go. Fair enough. My husband and I own a seasonal nudist campground, and we are always looking for interesting events to host during the summer months. We have host car, motorcycle, and gun events, and they have gone over very well and were very well attended by participants and the general community. We have a large concrete court that could be divided into several courts. We also have a large pool that could be used for pool basketball as well. The dress code for all our events is clothing optional. However, full nudity is very common as well. We would love to hear your thoughts and our ideas, and feel free to ask anything you would like. Hope to hear from you. So would you guys be down for a nude basketball campground, or a nude basketball activity, I guess you called it?
I didn't know they got down like that in Peoria, to be honest with you.
I do have to say that this lady included a picture of her and presumably I think are her and her husband, which I think is maybe to help entice some people to comment or join. She's wearing
balls after seeing that picture.
She's wearing a very low cut shirt there, and I'm not quite sure what else to say about this.
You're struggling there. Have
y'all been to a nude beach? Have y'all been to a nude beach before?
No.
I have. I will tell you, the people you want to see naked are not the ones who are naked at a nude beach.
I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around the gun events with these people. Like, God forbid something goes wrong and hits somebody in the bits. I mean,
oh yeah. Man. Having a gun event with your hog out seems like a terrible idea.
Well, I mean, at least a gun event is a non-contact sport. I mean, if you're playing basketball, I mean,
lots of teams, MBG.
That's one of those where either everybody's going to go for the rebound or nobody's going to go for the rebound.
Lots of flopping. Oh.
The visual that opening tip to my brain.
Opening tip's way more exciting than normal.
The box outs are going to be something, I tell you. Yeah.
Oh. Taking it to the rack.
You wrote all
serving the facial if somebody can dunk. You know, there's all kinds of stuff like that.
There.
I've never been so uncomfortable. Actually,
that's a lot. I just want someone here to yell.
On this show, I definitely have been, but man.
And scream, send it in Jerome in the middle of the game.
Bill Raftery would be good on the call there, I think.
He's a member of the place. There's no doubt.
So I'm kicking myself for not seeing some of the responses to this. I think the thread got nuked shortly after I visited, because I went back to try to see if there were some recommendations or any further comment from We Are a Couple, and there was none. So, I mean, they didn't even give us really the name of the campground. So we can't even do any real research other than, I guess we could maybe do a Google search of this picture and see who or what pops up. Yeah. Yeah. Do that on a non-work computer, probably.
NSFW, isn't that what they say?
I think so. There was no warning here about that, but think about it. I mean, we can try to get the info. We'll try to put it out there when we get it in case anyone's interested in.
This is good networking.
Some nude basketball with We Are a Couple.
And if you have a video out there saying send it in, Jerome, while you're playing on this nudist campground, MBG will send you a shirt. Send the video right to Daily Joy at Daily Joy in her DM.
I will block you so fast.
Bradley Board's batting 1,000 on the MBG podcast. This is a solid effort.
I'd actually probably send it to MBG and then block and report. Just so someone else would be subject to deal with this too. I'd not send it to Casey and Hughes because they'd enjoy it. They'd laugh. We all saw how MBG was struggling to read the post. So
send it in, Jerome. Uncomfortable.
Oh, well, that's all I got, kids.
I hope kids aren't listening.
All right. That'll do it for this week's episode, the MBG podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. You can check out more content at messageboardgeniuses.com. And we'll see you next time, losers.